Well, I want to say this again, and this is going to catch some of you off guard, but happy Mother's Day once again to our mothers. And the Lord had us in a very special place last week, and we began this message looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I would like to finish what the Lord put in our heart. I feel very strongly that we are to finish what the Lord started last Lord's Day. You say, Pastor, Mother's Day was last week. I'm not a mother. I'm a man. I'm a husband. Maybe you're a young teenager and you're listening. Every bit of this is for every believer that's here. This is what we are to pray one for another. Young men who are yet to be married, this is what you are to pray for in the helpmeet that God has for you. Are you listening to me? Young ladies, this is a wonderful example of what being a mother is all about. And then if you are a mother or an expecting mother, then no doubt this is great foundational truth for you. And then it's healthy for the entire church to hear this truth. This is how we are to operate our lives. And so we'll review very briefly a little bit of what we talked about last week. And then I want to give you this last point, this last portion of the message, and then end our service there. There are ministries that fill stadiums. There are ministries that have massive gospel tents where thousands of people gather. And there are ministries where books are written and the world is shaken with spoken word and with preaching and teaching and music. But the most foundational ministry is one that may never tend to be noticed publicly. It is the ministry that happens quietly. It's the ministry that happens day by day. And you say, where, Pastor, is this ministry happening? Well, it's happening in kitchens. And it's happening at car lines where school children are picked up. It's happening in laundry rooms. And it's happening in bedrooms for nighttime prayers. And it is the ministry of motherhood. We talked about it in depth last Sunday. And church, I think it's important that we say this on the onset as a reminder. The ministry of motherhood is more than we could ever put into words. And the reason it's more than we could ever put into words is that every ministry of motherhood is different. Every mother has a different personality. Some mothers have certain skill sets that other mothers struggle with. And so God has tenderly but eloquently and perfectly put together a plan for every mother under the sound of my voice to have a ministry. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to be a college-educated professor. You don't have to be a shouting, crying Baptist. Are you with me? You can be a mother in your home, no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, and have a ministry that can impact lives for future generations. It's really a ministry that matters more than we could ever put in words. Last week, if you weren't here, let me very quickly give you this. We looked at the Apostle Paul writing to his protege, this young man named Timothy. And Paul begins to trace everything back in Timothy's life to his upbringing. And before he talks about his calling, and before he talks about the courage and the convictions, the Apostle Paul points back to two women, a woman named Lois and a woman named Eunice. These were the mother and grandmother of Timothy. And these two ladies, without the help of a man, I think Acts perfectly lays that out for us, that these two ladies, his mother and grandmother, raised him to be more than just a man, but a man of God. And the Bible says that they possess, these two ladies, what the Bible describes as unfeigned faith. That is genuine, tested, enduring faith. And because of that, they could pass something on to this young man named Timothy. I put it this way, you can't pass on something to your children that you do not possess. You cannot pass on something to your children that you do not possess. And so what was living on the inside of Eunice and what was living on the inside of Lois was passed on through this enduring faith that they possessed. And they built up this young man. Are you with me? Say amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, go to verse number 5 to refresh our memory and to dive into the meat of the message. The Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, Timothy, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So Paul is telling Timothy, obviously he's going through something, he's afraid, and he tells him, Timothy, you need to remember what's been invested in your life. You need to remember the truth of your childhood and not operate your life in fear. There were 2 points I gave you last Lord's Day. Number one, I talked about the power that's mentioned there in verse 7, that the ministry of motherhood, that she teaches the children, she teaches them to stand in God's strength. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but what has God given us but of, say the word with me, power. Say it like you have power. Power. Say it 1, 2, 3. Power. God has given Timothy power, and he's done so through the investment and through the life and the love of his mother and his grandmother. And what had God given him to stand on? The word of God. And so we looked at fear, and fear, let me define that again for you, is the enemy. And we're talking about the believer now. We're talking to saved people. Timothy is in the faith. Amen? So fear is the enemy of purpose in the life of a believer. Fear keeps us stuck in comfort. It stifles our obedience. It holds us back from being who God designed us to be. And Timothy was struggling somehow, some way with fear. But his mother and his grandmother, they had laid a foundation. And this foundation enabled him to overcome the fear. And the Apostle Paul has added to, listen now, the foundation in which these two wonderful ladies have built. Now Paul is investing in his life. He's pouring into him. He's telling him everything he knows. He's discipling him. There's a word that you need to write down. He's discipling the younger man on what it is to follow God. And so we looked at the power that the ministry of motherhood gives in her influence. And then secondly, we looked at passion. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. And what's the next part of it? And of what? Love. And of love. It's one thing to have power. It's another thing to have power and love. Better yet, the understanding of love. The kind of love that Lois and Eunice had for Timothy was what the Bible calls agape love. It's a deep covenantal love. It's real love. It's tangible love. It's not love that comes with strings attached or special conditions. It's just love. It's pure love, unbridled love, unconditional love. And they loved him enough to teach him the truth. Again, hear that word clearly this morning. Every person under the sound of my voice, we're talking about truth. Say that word with me. 1, 2, 3. Truth. That's the issue. They taught him the truth. They invested in his life for him to understand the truth. And not only power, but now passion, love, real love. Real love in the life of a child changes a child. It shapes a child. It molds a child. And it prepares them to be able to temper what love really is, to identify what love really is. Satan sells love. It's not love. It's sin. It's death. It's destruction. But the ministry of motherhood, cloaked in the passion for the love of Christ that the mother has, influences the life of her children. It's a wonderful, wonderful ministry. And so Timothy was the way Timothy was. Listen now, because somebody loved him. Who loved you? Who was tender and compassionate and kind and patient with you? Who loved you enough to pray for you even when you were unlovable? Timothy had two ladies in his life that did that. And now the Apostle Paul building on this foundation. So mothers, listen, all the mamas say amen. Amen. Mamas, you are shaping your children's view of love every day. This is where we finished last week. And it's either something temporary and transactional, or it is something eternal and transformational. And a lot of that has to do with the relationship between you and your husband. And if you say, I'm a single mother, there is no husband at home, then all the more important reason to have a more visible, actual relationship with the Lord Jesus and your relationship with him and that love. But this morning, I want you to see this third and final element. That's where my heart is fixed this morning. There is the power that's given to Timothy. There is the passion that Timothy has learned through his grandmother and mother, their influence. But lastly today, I want you to see this third and final point. There is perspective. There is perspective. There is power. This mother, she teaches the children to stand in God's strength. There is passion. She loves with a Christ-like heart. But then there is perspective. And it's possibly the most important this morning for us to hear and understand. This mother, this ministry of motherhood, she loves the children. She loves her husband. And she loves her God with a Christ-like heart. With a Christ-like heart. Look what the verse says. But of power and of love, and notice, and of a sound mind. A sound mind. That third and final trait of the ministry of motherhood, it was imparted to Timothy's life. And you say, how do you know it was imparted to Timothy's life? Because the Apostle Paul is telling him to stir up what you know. Go back to the gift that had been given to you. And it wasn't just the influence of mama and grandmama. It was the influence of grandmama and mama in the life of a saved man. What the Holy Ghost was doing on the inside of Timothy's heart and life. And a lot of it had to do, his tenderness now, had to do with what he had been taught by his mother and his grandmother. I want to take that word, sound mind. It's one thought in the Greek. It's this word here, sophronismos. Sophronismos. It means sound judgment. And parents, I hope you're taking notes this morning. Sound judgment, self-control, disciplined thinking, and a healthy spiritual mindset. A healthy spiritual mindset. You see, the ministry of motherhood is teaching perspective in the life of her children. This is the mind that sees life through the lens of God's word and a biblical perspective in every aspect of life. We talked about a little bit about that last week, that Christians, maybe this was on Wednesday night, that we do not live in compartmentalized Christianity. We don't have our Christian us that we pull out on Wednesdays and Sundays, and then another lifestyle that we get to live the rest of the week or when people aren't watching. We are simply either followers of Jesus Christ, obedient to his word, or we are not. It's that simple. And so you have in the ministry of motherhood, and it's not undue and it's not ungodly pressure, but the pressure, listen now, of building and shaping the perspective of the children in the home. And that can only happen through your perspective, dear mother. Through your perspective. Through your mindset. Through your worldview. Again, as it goes back to the principle, you cannot give out what you do not possess. And so if, mother, your perspective, your mindset, your worldview is not biblical, it is therefore impossible to impart that to your children. But you have this joy and you have this really wonderful godly pressure that is on you as a mother to be that, to have the mindset. And here's the proof of all of this. Timothy did not wake up one day and he didn't automatically have a biblically rooted sound mind. He didn't just wake up one day and say, okay, now I've got a biblically rooted sound mind with a good godly worldview and perspective. That didn't happen. It didn't happen. You say, well, Timothy got saved and that's all God's doing. Yeah, you're right. But then we're told that there's more work to be done in the life of a child. Timothy didn't wake up and just have it. It came with time. And it's the hardest part of this. It's time. Lois and Eunice, they knew that it was going to take time. It was going to happen in time. And how does it happen? Well, the same way it happened then is how it happens now. How do I shape the perspective and the worldview through my ministry of motherhood for my children? How does it happen? It's the same way. Through scripture reading. Through wise correction, in quiet, faithful conversation, and in a willingness to do so for years. It's intentional. Write that word down. It's intentional. And this is for both parents, but moms, you have this ministry. It's not just for the dad or the grandfathers, and it's not left up to the church or the ministries. It's up to the ministry of motherhood. The ministry of motherhood is to shape minds. And the goal in shaping the mind and the perspective of your children is that they are able to discern truth. Again, I've already told you, at the end of the day, it's all about what? Truth. You have the opportunity to shape the framework of your child's mind with truth so that they know what truth is and what is not truth. They must be taught just as Timothy was. And I believe with all of my heart, and I believe most believers here would agree with me, that no one has the opportunity to contribute to the framework for the truth in the mind of a child more than a Holy Ghost-filled, Bible-reading, Bible-believing, praying mama. No one has more influence in the life of a child to build up the framework in the mind of your children on how they think and how they perceive more than the lady who brought them into this world and held them first. Are you with me this morning? This is the ministry of motherhood. And I say this in love, and I say this as a warning and for all of us to pay attention to. This should shape our prayer life. But hear me in love this morning. If there is no contribution from godly parents, if there is no ministry of motherhood, then when the world comes and it gets access to your children, either as time goes on or through school or whatever the means may be, it could be that your children are homeschooled, but they have unfettered access to the internet. Hear me now. The world does not play fair. The enemy does not play fair. And if there is no ministry of motherhood shaping the framework of the child's mind, then when the world gets its first little glimpse of a mind that is not formed and a mind that has no foundation, what will the world do? It will build the framework according to the blueprint of Satan himself for the mind of your child. This is a vital ministry. And it's because the world is aggressively looking for an opportunity to shape how your babies think. You say, Pastor, are you talking about indoctrinating my children? Absolutely. I'm talking about indoctrinating your children. You say, why would I be so aggressive in the way that I shape their mind? Because Isaiah 5:20 says this, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." That is the culture, that is the day, that is the morality upside down that we are experiencing in America every single solitary day. And if children are not taught, if children do not have the minister of the motherhood in the house to frame and to shape the way they think, their mind processes, then hear me in warning and in love, their brains will absorb the next thing that has influence. And you say, well, as they get older and as they mature, then I'll be real with them about life and God and sin and the Bible. It'll be too late. The Bible tells us we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I believe in such a big God, I believe that every cell inside my body bows to the lordship of Christ as creator. I believe my heart beats because God intended for it to beat. I believe my lungs inflate and deflate, and that blood passes through my pulmonary artery to exchange blood and all that happens within me, because that's exactly how God designed it to be. I believe that a right Achilles, even on a softball field, can get torn, and praise God, there's medicine to repair it. All a part of God's plan and design. Amen. I believe we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And when scientists begin to look at the mind of a child, I wanted to approach today with fear and trembling through the Word of God, but also as a point of reference, I want you to listen to this truth. Through much research, I've had a little extra time this weekend. Through much research, I found what seemed to be an obscure study, but as I began to read and process, it's one of the most profound documents I've ever read about the mind, especially the mind of a child. This is a 2023 study that was performed at George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia. And this study revealed that 90% of brain development occurs in the child before age 5. 90% of cognitive brain function is formed, is formatted, is set for life before the age of 5 years old. You say, now, Pastor, the brain's not fully developed at 5 years old. No, but all of the wiring and all of the processes and the patterns in which that brain will grow to be are all set at 90% before the age of five. The study goes on. Listen to the language. And this is their language, not mine. Positive parenting. They define positive parenting as warm parenting. Sensitivity, involvement with the child. It means just being present in your child's life. That when parents were involved and they were sensitive to the need of their child and they were warm in their approach with their child, that those children in those 5 years, that they had greater activation in emotion regulation networks in the brain. That's the prefrontal cortex for those of you that understand the processes of the brain. They had a healthier development in the reward system in the brain. And they had a better social, emotional processing power than those that did not have a parent who was warm and involved with their child. Not only did they have this, but they had stronger cognitive control, better decision-making capacity in their adolescence. And listen to this, a higher IQ score in adolescence. Because mama and daddy were involved in their life. The children who did not have such parenting, they referred to it in the study as negative parenting. They called it harshness. They labeled it with criticism, high emotional negativity, or absence of involvement in the life of the child. It led to this in these children: heightened emotional arousal in the brain. It means that the brain's always looking for dopamine. It's looking for something to get a fix. You see how the devil works? It's looking for something to bring up dopamine levels, to excite the brain, and to bring happiness and joy. But it's all fleeting. So this heightened emotional arousal, increased risk for internalizing disorders like anxiety and depression, especially in girls. Blunted emotional response in boys. And it was all linked to external behaviors like aggression, anger-related conduct issues. All of that leads to a path that says this: the children who did not have an active parent warmly involved in their life in those first 5 years, they suffered because of it. And if a simple medical study at George Mason University can prove that, then what do you think the Bible means when it says that Timothy had Lois and Eunice who poured into his life, who loved him and who were foundational in every aspect of his life? I believe it was before he was even 5 years old. They were pouring into his life, reading him the scripture, praying with him, and leading him into a path where the Apostle Paul could pick up the rest of it and shape and mold a man that would lead the church. Your ministry, mother, is massive. 90% before the age of five. Moms, all the moms, listen to me. Say amen so I know I've got your attention for just a second. Listen to me. Your role as a mother is not just to correct behavior. Your role as a mother is to shape beliefs. It is to indoctrinate the mind with truth. And indoctrination with truth is never wrong. It's never too much. It's never too far. There is no such thing as too much Christianity, too much of Christ, too much of His Word. Hear me. We've taken legalism and we've used it as our crowbar so that we can live like how we want to without any accountability. Well, I don't want to be labeled legalist. It's not about legalism. It's about being real with God. It's about pursuing God daily in your perspective, in your mindset, so that your children have someone to look to who will shape and form their minds 90% before age five. Proverbs was ahead of the study at George Mason. Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says this: train up a child, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's not just about rules. It's about worldview and perspective. Training is shaping how they think. so that when they face lies and trials and choices, they know how to filter it all through the Word of God. But how in the world, dear parents, and this is for all of us, how are they to learn how to filter their choices through the Word of God and the character of God if you don't filter your choices through the Word of God and the character of God? Are you asking more of your children spiritually than you're willing to do? Are you putting the blame at the feet of the church? Well, I bring them to church. They're in Thrive. They're in Launch. Friends, this is a celebration. This is a collective group of believers who are practicing at home what they say when they're here. And when we come here, we just worship in the overflow of what God's done in our lives. This is not Christianity. This is corporate worship. And mom, your influence, your ministry is so vital and so important. The ministry of motherhood builds a defense. It guards the mind that the enemy is pursuing. You say, Pastor, my children are two, they're three. I have a newborn. Hear me clearly. The enemy is planning. The enemy is plotting. The enemy has a blueprint to damn, deceive, and destroy even your newborn child. The devil doesn't care. He hates God, he hates truth, and he hates you. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the little G-O-D, God of this world, that is Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. There's a comma and there's a way out. Lest how the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So Satan, the god of this world, he's targeting the mind. And hear me, this is why it's so important that the assault always begins with the mind when they're 6 and 7 and 4 and when they're 14. It's always in the mind. It's Satan's trick, it's his folly, it's his way, it's how he goes. And his desire is to destroy your baby's mind, your children's mind, to fill it with fear, to fill it with false religion, to fill it with fallacies of the flesh. And that's why in our country, I talked about it Wednesday night, we are plagued in this country, all over this country, with confusion, with fear, with deception. And it's because the enemy knows that if he can blind the mind, he can control the life. If your mind's blind, you can't think right. If your mind's blind, you can't process. If your mind's blind, you can't think straight. You can't even remember the truth. It's like spiritual amnesia. And the devil comes for the mind of the child. The ministry of motherhood is everything in the mind of her child. You're not just raising a child, you're defending a mind. And if you're saved, born again, and on your way to heaven, and if you're a mama who knows how to pray and a mama who believes the Bible and you're Holy Ghost filled, then listen to me, then you are that light that the Apostle Paul was talking about. I used to read that verse and it'd be at a distance. Those blind minds are homeless people who are on drugs and people with problems and issues and people in foreign lands. No, sir, no, ma'am. These blind minds are living in our homes. They're our own children, our own blood. Our own grandchildren, our own nieces and nephews, and their minds are blind. And the devil's having his way with them. At 9 years old, he's preparing them for 19. Mama, you have a ministry. Your baby's at war in his mind. Your baby's at war in her mind. And you are the great and high and holy defense ministry of your house. You are the heart of Christ, the spiritual tender heart of the home, and you are the minister of defense for the heart and the mind of your child. Mama, hear me this morning. God's given you such a role that is high and lofty. It's greater than anything Instagram could ever offer you, greater than anything TikTok has ever seen. It is the high, holy role. It is the ministry of motherhood, and you have children at home who need their mama to be the defense warrior, the defense mechanism, to be the spiritual M1 Abrams tank, to be the architect of their brain, so that when the old slew foot devil comes for them, that they know it's a lie, they know it's deception. There's light living on the inside of them. There's a foundation foundation of truth that cannot be penetrated, all because mama got a hold of God and prayed over their baby and pled the blood of Jesus in their house and laid over top of them in their bed and say, Lord, protect my baby. You can't have my children, devil, enemy. You can't have my home because I'm here, I'm mama, and I'm on a mission. That's what our babies need. In love this morning, don't clap. Say amen. Amen. It makes the devil more nervous when you say amen. 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 Mama, you got a ministry of motherhood. You have a duty and a calling. And how sad would it be to get to the bema where God and Jesus are there and Christ looks at us and he looks at the greatest treasure he ever gave you, your blessed, beautiful children, the treasure of heaven. And he says, Mama, look at all the potential you left out on the field. Look at what you could have said. Look at what you could have done. I wonder if there be any mamas under the sound of my voice that don't care who knows it and who don't care who hears it, but who are willing to be whatever God wants them to be for the sake of their soul, for the soul of their own children. Mamas who are full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. Mom, you are on the front line of this battle. And you're not just raising a child and wiping off applesauce, washing laundry. You're defending a mind. You're fighting a battle and you're fighting a war. And you are the light of that glorious gospel. The absence of biblical spiritual perspective in the life of the mother and the life of the father, it leads, listen now, I know this ain't a swing from the chandelier jubilee message, but praise God, it's going to change the way we think about some things. When there is no biblical perspective in the house, when there is no voice for Christ represented in the home, it leads to things in your children's lives that sometimes can be irrevocably, it's absolutely set, again, 90% before 5 years old. It leads to fear, afraid little children, afraid little teenagers. It leads to fragility, easily broken, easily swayed, easily hurt. Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You say, Pastor, you're not a mother? No, and I never will be. Praise the Lord. But you are. And if God thought so much of Timothy to give him this investment, not only to have Lois, but to have Eunice, he's laying out for us a perfect model of what the ministry of motherhood really looks like. And see, when the sound mind is missing, there's a vacuum that's created. And in that vacuum, that fear rushes in. And that's what we are witnessing in this generation. Why do elementary schools, listen, why do elementary schools have to have extra counselors to deal with children with anxiety? They're in elementary school. Why is the middle school dealing with the issues in the office, things that we can't even say publicly in mixed company? At the rate, it's not just one child, it's dozens of children, it's entire grades. Issues and problems that really weren't even problems on college campuses 30 years ago. And it's in the middle school. You say, I wish you'd get off this. No, I wish we'd get a hold of this. We're just going to idly go by and let the devil raise our babies? We're going to ask God to give us a ministry of motherhood, a ministry of fatherhood. Father's Day's coming, praise the Lord. Amen. Mamas, you have influence. Too many children, even church children, are emotionally fragile. They are mentally anxious and they are spiritually confused. And you say, well, you're challenging me as a parent and you are angering me because you're making me feel like a bad parent. I'm not trying to make you feel like anything. I'm just preaching the truth of God's word. You can either get angry and rebel, or you can say, woe is me. God help me. Hosea 4, 6, there's a principle there. It says, my people are destroyed. Why? For lack of knowledge. You see, I'm not challenging your love for your children. I know you love your children. You love them, right? It's not a lack of affection. It's not a lack of provision. They're well fed. They have a house. You drive them around in a vehicle. You take them to the doctor when they're sick. That's not what I'm challenging, and that's not what I'm talking about. The Bible says it. The people are destroyed for a lack of what? Knowledge. Knowledge. And that responsibility begins at home with the ministry of the father in his place and the ministry of the mother in her place. Lois and Eunice shaped Timothy. They molded his mind. They responded to his need. They gave him wisdom and perspective. And the fruit of that faithful discipleship was a great spiritual leader in the early church. Paul tells him in verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." He's telling him to remember what his mama and his grandmama taught him. Remember who they are. Remember their character. Remember their love. Remember their boldness, Timothy, that they were willing to tell you what was right, even when the culture said it was wrong. And mamas, today you're facing a culture that is calling good evil and evil good. And there is no small task ahead of you. But if you today, in love and in surrender and obedience to the word of God, will say, "Lord, help me be the mother, help me be the parent, help me be the minister of the Holy Ghost in my home in a way that honors you, they'll be effective to mold and shape the mind of my child." You say, "It's too late for me. I'm divorced." No, ma'am, you're not too far gone to do it now. There is no daddy in the home. What am I going to do? How am I going to lead? By the same way Lois and Eunice did, full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, with the help of the Apostle Paul, investing in the life of Timothy. There is a model before us. And it's how we can respond. Timothy's mind was not just filled. They didn't stick an iPad in his lap and say, "See you in 5 hours." Although sometimes that is the only recourse. Can I get a witness? I've seen some of your children put that iPad in their lap, get on Snuggles and Bubbles and whatever that show's called, Bluey. My day's coming. Is it still Blue's Clues? No. Bluey, okay. Well, the Braves blew it last night. Listen to me. Timothy's mind wasn't just filled. In other words, it wasn't just to keep him busy. It was formed with intentionality. Lois and Eunice got up without that daddy at home. He was a Greek, a Gentile that did not believe, rebellious. For all intents and purposes, as far as the Bible indicates, Timothy's daddy never got saved. We'll find out when we get to heaven. This is a single mama raising a boy with the help of her mama and the help of the man of God in the local church. That's the model. And mama, if you have no one at home to help you, and you're a member of this local New Testament Bible-believing church, all the deacons under the sound of my voice, stand to your feet if you're able. I can't. Stand to your feet. I'm standing to foot. Single mamas, look around. These are the men, according to the word of God, who are full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, living to a standard for which your children can watch. These are the model makers, shapers. These are the men that can influence your children. And you say, "Well, it's a different day. That's a weird culture." No, we got to get back to what the Bible says about the church. Men, you can be seated. Hear me clearly, hear me plainly. The men that just stood, all of them can be trusted. If they can't be trusted, they wouldn't be standing. But praise God, they are full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, and they are a blessing to the local church. That's not my idea, that's God's plan. There are men who will stand with your children, who will love them and help them and lead them. Timothy's mind's not just filled, it's formed as the piano player comes. And here's where I want you to end your day. Take your Bible and turn to Romans. You say, Pastor, what's really at stake? What's really the cost if I don't step into my role, the ministry of motherhood? Romans 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Read that verse. Let it sear in your heart and your mind. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Mamas, your homes need you. Your children need you. And my prayer is that, Mom, you would realize it's your ministry. You're the first theologian your child will ever meet. You say, I'm not a theologian, I'm just a mom. No, you're a theologian of truth. The mind maker and shaper in your house. So, Mama, teach the word. Model sound thinking in your own life. Challenge your children's assumptions. Listen to them and what they say. Filter their influences. Pray over them. Pray over their thoughts. And speak truth boldly in love, even when the world is screaming a lie loudly. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Thank God for the ministry of motherhood.